The following program was transcribed earlier from Hollywood for release at this time. If you like peanuts, you'll like Skippy. From Hollywood, Skippy, the new improved peanut butter, presents the Skippy Hollywood Theater.
Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. This is C.P. McGregor speaking. For the star of our play, Murder Deferred, we have chosen the distinguished actor, Philip Terry, currently appearing in the Paramount picture, The Lost Weekend.
In 1 minute, friends, our play. But first, I'd like to speak for just a moment to you young housewives who have never used any other peanut butter except Skippy. You're very fortunate because you've been spared all the time and money-wasting inconveniences of old-style peanut butter. You've never had to stir peanut butter. You've never had the unpleasant sensation of peanut butter clinging to the roof of your mouth. And you've never had to throw out a half-empty, dried-up jar. You know from experience that those things, well, they just don't happen with Skippy peanut butter. For Skippy is a new, vastly improved product. A peanut butter that stays fresh and sweet and easily spread to the very last spoonful at the bottom of the jar. Now, perhaps you have some friends and neighbors who haven't discovered Skippy. You'll be doing them a real favor if you tell them about it. They'll really thank you, for S-K-I-P-P-Y, Skippy Peanut Butter, is the new American delicacy. Now, here once again is our producer, C.P. McGregor.
Thank you, Van Desitels. In a short time, Philip Terry has made tremendous strides here in Hollywood, and he is one of the most versatile young actors on the screen today. Behind his success is a very interesting background. But suppose we invite our star back to the microphone after the last act and have him tell you some of the interesting highlights. For now, I see it's curtain time. And we're ready for Act One of our play, Murder Deferred, starring Philip Terry. An original story by Don Martin with music by Malin Merrick. Here is the strange story of a man determined to have everything he wanted at any cost. The man, Norton Roberts, tells his own story, just as it happened, and as well as he is now able to remember it.
Yes. Yes, I want you to hear my story. I've told it several times now. I believe I can repeat it and without leaving out any details. I know I won't omit Claire. She meant so much to me. So very much. Why, it seems only yesterday that she came walking down the corridor at the investment company and into my office.
Claire!
Oh, hello, Norton, dear. Hope you don't mind my walking in on you.
Well, you know I don't.
Busy?
The president of an investment firm is never busy. With a big company behind him, he can well afford to hire good assistants to do all the work.
You've certainly hired all the experts on Wall Street, then.
What do you mean?
Trust that I've read the semi-annual report of Worthington and Company. There seems to be no end to the amount of money you, or rather, your hired assistants are earning for the firm.
That's our job.
But it's not your job to kill yourself working so hard.
It's not that bad, Claire.
Yes, it is, Norton, and you know it. This job killed my father, and I don't want the same thing to happen to you.
What would you suggest?
Why don't you retire?
You mean, you want someone else in this position?
It's not that I have anybody in mind, Norton. It's just that I think you've worked too hard all your life, and you're entitled to a rest.
At my age, Claire, I'm only 35. Of course, to a 26-year-old girl, that must sound quite elderly.
That's not what I meant, Norton.
Then what are you driving at?
I'd like to sell out.
Sell out?
That's right. My father's been dead exactly 1 year. You've already increased the $7 million he left to me to more than 10.
Is that bad?
That's just it. It's good. I've got more money than I'll ever need. And you're a millionaire in your own right.
It isn't the money, Claire. A man has to have something to do.
Then you insist on working?
Call it that.
All right, then. Sign these papers.
What's this?
New incorporation papers. You know, I thought you'd be stubborn and not want to retire, so I had these drawn up. Just put your name on the dotted line, and then the firm of Worthington and Company becomes Worthington and Roberts.
Oh. But, Claire...
No buts about it, Norton. As long as you're going to run this business, then by everything that's right, you should be a full-fledged partner.
So, there I was. Not just a figurehead of one of the oldest investment houses in America, but an active partner. That meant I had prestige, power, everything. That is, nearly everything I wanted. That night, celebrating the merger of Worthington and Roberts, Claire joined me at my penthouse. After dinner, we stood on the terrace looking out over the city.
I never knew
that New York could be so...
Well, finish it.
So empty.
Oh, Norton, you're teasing. Look at the city. The lights, the people, the traffic. It's anything but empty.
You're wrong, Claire. Look at me.
You call your life empty?
Yes, dear. Without anyone to share it. Without you to share it.
But Norton...
Claire, you must have known.
Yes, I've known. For a very long time. But...
But what?
Well, I feel so differently toward you. Like a brother.
Is that why you were so interested in my welfare?
Oh, it's more than that, Norton. I wish I could explain my feelings.
Is there someone else? I see. I should have known.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't want to hurt you, not for the world. But for the longest time, I didn't know which one I loved most.
Then that makes our merger purely a business one.
Yes, Norton, I'm afraid so. When it comes to the heart, you are second choice.
Second choice. Norton Roberts, the most eligible bachelor in New York. Second choice with the one girl he wanted. Suddenly the thought struck me. Who was first choice? I couldn't help thinking, what if such a person had never come into Claire's life? What if such a person didn't exist?
Yes?
Hello, Claire?
Oh, hello, Norton.
I called you to...
Oh.
Well, it was your idea. You said I was working too hard.
Well, where are you going?
Hunting, in Montana, for one whole month.
Will you ride?
Oh, not a chance. I'm going off with a guide away from civilization.
But how can I get in touch with you if anything important comes up?
Oh, don't worry. Nothing will come up. I've attended to everything. Change will do me good.
But, Norton, won't I see you tomorrow?
I'm afraid not, Claire. I'm leaving tonight. Yes, I was going hunting, all right. But not for mountain lions or bears or coyotes. I was going hunting for a man. Murder was my game. Just as I'd hired men to do my other work, I planned to hire someone to commit that murder for me. 3 days later in San Francisco, I learned that the man I wanted to see was Victor Corrin. Are you Victor Corrin?
Who are you?
My name is Walter Bradshaw.
That's not your name. But never mind about that. What do you want?
I want you to murder a man.
Yeah?
Look, this is a legitimate business deal. My assets happen to be cash. Yours happen to be, shall we say, brawn.
Who sent you here?
Nobody. I've been around. I know you're a front man to break up strikes, start riots, to do anything for whichever side pays you most.
You know a lot for a stranger.
I know the stakes are high. And I'm willing to pay $15,000 for a man's life.
Who's the man?
I don't know.
Now, wait a minute, mister. I don't know what your game is.
Now, wait a minute. Let me explain. Somebody is going to marry Claire Worthington and...
You mean the heir to the late King of Wall Street?
That's the girl. I want you to kill the man who marries her.
And you don't know who he is?
No. But no matter who he is, kill him.
Why do you want him murdered?
You'll be well paid for eliminating the man, not for knowing the reasons why. Is it a deal?
Well, how am I to know?
It'll be in all the newspapers when she gets married. The method of murder and the time I'll leave to your discretion.
Well? It'll cost you another 15 grand.
15,000 more?
That's what I said. This 15 is my share for giving the orders. The others will be for the killer.
I see. And who will that be?
That'll be my business.
Yes. Yes, of course. Suppose I pay you, say, after the murder has taken place?
In this line, we always get paid in advance. Especially when we deal with guys like you who hide their identity.
But I don't have that kind of money with me.
Well, then get it.
Very well. Here you are.
Well, had it all along. Smart business, man.
I've been called that. Anyway, there you are. Another 15,000, five tens, and twenties.
Good enough. Okay, mister, it's a deal.
How will I know that...
That I've carried out my part? You'll read it in the papers after Claire Worthington gets hitched. Unless you want a written receipt for one murder paid in full.
That night I was on the train. Before we got to Chicago, I knew that if Victor Corin sent one of his thugs to trail me for a bit of blackmail, I'd successfully eluded him. Not too long afterwards, I was safely back in New York. I went to Claire's apartment.
Norton. Of all people, Norton Roberts.
Claire, dear, remember me?
Oh, a sight for lonesome eyes. When did you get back?
This minute, haven't even been home.
Oh, it was sweet of you to come here first. Well, come on in. I was just going to have some coffee. Now, sit down. Tell me all about your trip.
Well, it was very dull. Slept, ate, walked.
Catch anything?
No. Set a few traps, that was about all.
Oh, you're too chicken-hearted to kill a rabbit. You can't fool me.
It was a good change of scene, anyway.
You know, I'm glad you went away, Norton.
It was your suggestion.
No, I didn't mean that. I'm glad you went away because it made me realize how much I depend on you.
Oh, don't be silly, Claire. Anybody could carry on the business.
I'm not talking about the business. I'm talking about me.
Claire.
It's the truth, Norton. I knew after you left how much you meant to me and how much I loved you.
But this other fellow, the one who was first choice...
There never was another fellow. I just had to be sure, that's all. Your first choice, Norton, if you still want me.
Darling, of course I want you more than anything or anyone in the world.
Well, then let's not wait.
Dear, we can't jump into this.
Well, why not? Are you trying to stall
me? Oh, don't talk that way, Claire. You know I want to marry you, only right now.
What can possibly stand in our way?
I've got to go to San Francisco on business.
Well, is it so important that it can't wait until we get married?
Yes, it's very important. It can't wait. I've got to dash off to San Francisco. I'll fly there tomorrow morning.
We go together, Norton.
No, we can't do that.
Darling, you can't put me off. What do you say? Do we get married in the morning and go to San Francisco together, or...
Very well, Claire. We'll get married in the morning. So the curtain falls on Act One of Murder Deferred, starring Philip Terry in the role of Norton Roberts.
In thinking about tonight's Skippy commercial, I recall Grandma's cookie jar with nostalgic fondness. As I remember the forays on my Grandma's cookie jar, we were never content with one cookie. We filled our pockets. It was always three or four for each of us, and one for each of the neighbor's kids. Well, getting to Skippy, it's my guess today's youngsters will someday think of the Skippy peanut butter jar as a pleasant memory of childhood. After school, the youngsters at our house just naturally gravitate to the Skippy jar. They spread on the Skippy with a lavish hand, and there's always an extra slice of bread and Skippy for Bobby or Bill or Susie. And, of course, adults enjoy Skippy in generous quantities, too. Skippy peanut butter is a true pantry pal, a delightful, wholesome treat for all members of your family. So try S-K-I-P-P-Y, Skippy peanut butter, because you'll like it.
Act Two of Murder Deferred, starring Philip Terry. We return to Norton Roberts as he continues the story of his grim bargain and the ironic turn it has taken.
Yes, my bargain in murder had taken an ironic twist. You see, I'd arranged for the murder of the man who was going to marry Claire Worthington, never dreaming that Claire would change her mind at the last minute and marry me. Now, combining a honeymoon with what Claire thought was business, I had to hurry back to San Francisco to try to change the pattern of my design for murder. It wasn't easy making explanations to Claire when I dropped her at the hotel, but I managed it, and then I told the cab driver to take me to a waterfront address.
That's it, over there, driver, on the other side of the street.
This the place, mister?
Across the street, I said.
Well, if you take my advice, you'll stay away from that joint. It's being watched.
By whom?
With the cops. They're hot after the killer.
Somebody murdered?
Somebody murdered, he asked me. Victor Corrin was bumped off this morning.
Victor Corrin?
Yeah, and they got away with $15,000 that he was carrying.
Do they know who did it?
The cops don't, but the grapevine has it that it was one of his own men pulling a double cross. You better stay clear of that joint, sir. There may be fireworks. Back to the hotel?
Yes. Back to the hotel.
So Victor Corrin was dead. And since he had only $15,000, that meant he had already paid off a murderer. The murderer who was after me. Somebody was going to kill me. Somebody, it could be anybody, like the taxi. Yes, it could be the taxi driver.
Why are you stopping here?
The traffic light. In San Francisco, the red light means stop.
Oh.
Give me a morning paper. Yeah, thanks.
That taxi driver. He knew too much about Corrin and the money. He didn't want me to go up there. How do I know Victor Corrin was murdered? How do I know that the taxi driver wasn't plotting against me? I watched him closely, and then I noticed through the rearview mirror that he was looking at me. But I was ready for him. Yes, I was ready when he suddenly had turned and said...
Hey!
No, 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 no.
Taxi driver, he tried to kill me.
Oh, that's nonsense.
Then what am I doing in this hospital?
Darling, you were hit by an automobile.
I was.
Not hard, thank goodness. The car's crashed to save you.
Let's get out of here.
Well, it'll be a day or two before you get over your shock. Then you'll be perfectly all right to attend to your business.
I've finished with my business. Let's go back to New York.
All right, Norton. We'll go back to New York tomorrow or the day after.
Who's that?
Well, take it easy, darling. It's probably the doctor or a nurse. I'll see.
Good morning, ma'am.
Oh, hello, driver. Won't you come in?
Thanks. How do you feel this morning, Mr. Roberts?
How did you know I was Norton Roberts?
Well, your picture. It was in the front page of the morning paper.
Oh. Oh, I was afraid of that.
And the next time somebody recognizes you, you don't have to jump.
Yeah, especially on a moving taxi. It's bad business.
Is your car wrecked?
Yes, ma'am.
The other driver really smacked it up trying to keep from running over Mr. Roberts.
Well, we'll handle the expenses, of course. You don't have to worry.
Oh, gee, thank you, ma'am.
You can drive me to the hotel and I'll give you a check. Darling, now you just rest comfortably and I'll be right back.
Oh, you can't leave me here alone.
The hospital is well staffed with doctors and nurses.
Where are you going?
To arrange for our trip back to New York.
Claire.
What is it?
Will you charter a private plane for just the two of us?
Yes, Norton. I'll charter a private plane.
I didn't trust anyone. Before we left San Francisco, I made them change the pilots. For all I knew, one of the pilots might have been my killer. The only thing I was sure of was that somebody was going to murder me, and I had to get to him before he got to me. Claire, why do you look at me like that?
I was just thinking...
Thinking what?
How much you've changed since you went hunting that time.
Nonsense. It's excitement coming back, getting married, flying across the country. Man doesn't do that every day, you know.
Oh, I should hope not.
Now, don't you worry about me. As soon as we get back to New York, I'll be myself again.
Norton, I want you to do me a favor.
Anything.
I want you to see Dr. Armstrong.
What for?
Your nerves.
There's nothing wrong with my nerves, nothing.
You're as jittery.
I'm not jittery.
Yes, you are. Besides, you promised me you'd do whatever I ask.
For heaven's sake, Claire, don't treat me like a child.
Well, I'm only thinking of you, dear. It's up to a wife to make her husband happy, you know.
That was a fine one. She only wanted to make her husband happy. If I hadn't married her, I'd have been all right. Perfectly all right.
What is it?
Mrs. Roberts?
Yes.
I am Sperber, the new butler, ma'am.
Oh, yes. Come in.
Thank you, ma'am.
Come along with me.
Yes, madam.
Can you cook by any chance?
Well, yes, ma'am. But I don't as a rule, ma'am.
Well, I meant just for tonight. You see, we're hiring an entire new household staff, and the others won't be here until tomorrow.
I understand, ma'am.
There'll be just the two of us, Mr. Roberts and myself, for dinner. Think you can find everything?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Just leave everything to me.
You're not eating very much, Norton.
I'm not hungry.
There must be something troubling
you. Nothing's troubling me. Who's the new butler?
His name is Spurgeon.
Yes, I know, but where does he come from?
Santa Barbara, I think.
The West Coast?
Well, what's so terrible about that?
How can you let a strange man in the house without even knowing one little thing about him?
But, darling, he had references. They checked on him at the agency where I always get my servants. Oh, shh. Here he comes. The soup was very good, Sperber.
Thank you, ma'am.
What's that?
This, sir? Why, it's meatloaf, sir.
What's in it?
Ground sirloin, breadcrumbs, onions, tomato sauce.
What else?
Oh, just salt and pepper,
and
sir.
Poison?
Norton.
I don't understand,
it's
sir.
Very simple. I ask you a question. Is there any poison in that meatloaf?
No, sir. Of course there isn't.
Then eat some of it.
Begging your pardon, sir, I've already had my dinner.
You see, you're afraid to taste it. Then it is poison.
Oh, Norton, please.
Answer me. It is poisoned, isn't it? I was wrong about that butler. But I couldn't take any chances, not with him or any of the other servants. It was the same way at the office. When my secretary left me, I interviewed a dozen girls before I hired one I could trust. Because my killer could be a woman. That's the way it was with me for days, weeks, months. I didn't know what to do until I saw him. A man trailing me. In the morning, when I got into my limousine, he was lounging nonchalantly across the street. If I looked out of my office window, I could see him down by the main entrance. The killer had found me at last. Someday, very soon, he would strike. money anywhere. I took all the cash I could find in the safe, walked out of the office in the middle of the day. I went down the back stairs, didn't use the elevator, came out in the street at the rear of the building, and there I yelled for a cab. Taxi! Taxi! Look, I want you to take me to... Oh, you have a passenger.
It's okay. I don't mind sharing the cab. Get in.
No. No, I know who you are.
Get in. I'll drop you off. Where do you want to go?
The... To Wall Street.
But you just came from there.
How do you know?
I know a lot about you, Mr. Roberts.
Then you know that I'm married to Claire Worthington.
I should...
Look, I'll give you money. $50,000, $100,000. Here I have a lot of cash. There's more. If you'll leave me alone...
But, Mr. Roberts, I'm not trying to do...
Leave me alone, do you hear? Leave me alone.
Mr. Roberts...
Leave me alone. Don't kill me. Don't kill me. Don't kill me. No!
Thank you very much for your services. I'll have the check sent to your office.
Thanks, Mrs. Roberts. That's the Coronet Detective Agency.
Yes.
Will you need any further reports?
No. The doctors say there isn't any doubt that my husband's insane.
I guess not. Does he still keep telling that ridiculous story?
Oh, to everyone who'll listen. He just finished telling it to his nurse again.
The poor devil.
Yes. It makes it doubly hard because Norton was such a good man.
Curtain falls in the final act of our play, Murder Deferred, starring Philip Terry in the role of Norton Roberts. In a moment, I'll return with Mr. Terry for a curtain call.
In Los Angeles, Seattle, San Francisco, Chicago, New York, from coast to coast, in every city where Skippy peanut butter has been introduced, Skippy outsells all other peanut butters. What's the reason? Well, it's because no other peanut butter offers all of the advantages which make Skippy such an outstanding food product. You see, Skippy is the one peanut butter that tastes exactly like plump, selected, freshly roasted peanuts. And Skippy is a food without waste. It never dries out, never becomes rancid, but stays fresh and sweet and easily spread to the very last spoonful at the bottom of the jar. Skippy is easy to digest. It will never cling to the roof of your mouth. Skippy comes in two delicious styles. Creamy style with the blue label is triple milled to a buttery smoothness. Chunk style, that's with the red label, is creamy with crunchy little nuggets of peanuts added. With your first taste, you'll discover Skippy peanut butter is truly a superior product. You'll agree, if you like peanuts, you'll like Skippy peanut butter. Now, here is our producer, C.P. McGregor, returning to the microphone with the star of our show, Philip Terry.
Congratulations, Philip Terry. Believe me, that was one of the finest performances we've ever had here in the theater.
Thanks, C.P., for those very kind words. This is all very informal now, I hope.
Yes, it is, Phil. Just relax as though you were a native son of California.
Well, it so happens that I am a native son and first saw the light of day in San Francisco.
And, of course, you're going to tell me that you went to Stanford University.
That I did, C.P.
Oh, wonderful. I have a very good friend who went to Stanford University, one of their famous sons, Biff Hoffman. I suppose you knew him, too.
Yes, I knew him, too, and very well. As a matter of fact, when Biff and Ernie Nevers were football stars at Stanford, I was the water boy for the team. I pushed the little wagon around the field. Any more questions, Professor?
No, Phil, not on that subject. But where did you begin your acting career?
I graduated from the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts in London and appeared on the legitimate stage in England.
Well, before this interview is over, I have to get you back to Hollywood.
Well, I came to Hollywood, but I didn't break into pictures until I'd served much time in radio.
Well, Phil, needless to say, you've come a long way since pushing that little red wagon on the football field of good old Stanford University. And I'm sure San Francisco and California are proud of you as a native son. Speaking of being proud, we'd be proud to have you pay us another visit.
Thank you, C.P. And after such a delightful invitation and such a pleasant visit this time, how could I refuse? But before I leave you now, who is to be your next star?
Well, Philip, next week we've chosen as our star lovely Benita Granville, who will star in our play, White Violets. I really would like to tell you something about the play next week, but if I did, it would give away the secret. But I can tell you it's a strange story linked with this corsage of white violets. The plot is destined to keep you spellbound. So be sure and be with us next week when we present Benita Granville in our play, White Violets. Our thanks again to you, Philip Terry, and until then, thanks for listening. This is C.P. McGregor saying cheerio from Hollywood.
This program is produced in Hollywood and transcribed for release at this time.